I think you're welcome to start now, Sheikh.
Yeah, okay. Are you all right? How about this
Yeah.
setup in the room?
Yeah, everything's set up now. You're welcome to start, inshallah.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. Bismillah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah alladhi ja'ala dhikrahu tuma'ninatan lil qulub wa jila'an laha 'an nar'im ad-dunub wa madradatan li waswasil khannas al-makdhub wa s-salatu wa s-salamu 'ala sayyidina Muhammadin ad-da'i ila kulli fi'lin mahbub wa amrin matlub. وعلى آله وأصحابه المقتفين سبيله على خير أسلوب أما بعد فيقول رب تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المنزل أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين حنفاء ويقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة وذلك دين القيمة. الله سبحانه وتعالى says to us in the Quran that they were not commanded except to worship Allah with sincerity, with full, in a state of being full sincerity in the faith, in religion, inclining to truth, and to establish prayer, and to give zakah, to give charity, and that is the correct faith, the correct religion. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brothers and sisters, welcome to our sixth session on lessons from Imam Ghazali's Ihya, rahmatullah alayhi, his Ihya, which we are using as a base for this course. In our last session, we read the Imam's discussion on the eternal knowledge, al-ilm al-azali, as opposed to al-ulum al-ma'lumat al Al-Mutaghiyyira, the ones that are the change, that are susceptible to change. And we arrived at that point where the distinction was drawn between knowledge that is changeable, that is the knowledge that is susceptible to change, and knowledge that is eternal knowledge. And we said that the eternal knowledge, some of which we can acquire, and when we do so, it provides us of light in this world and beyond. It succeeds. It supersedes death. That knowledge, where it becomes lamps, like little lamps with which we light larger lamps for us for our lives in the next world. And in that, the point was also emphasized that لا سعادة الحقيقي إلا في معرفة الله. That there is no true and genuine felicity and happiness to be found except in knowing our Creator, in knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also discussed the virtues of khumul, a new concept. Khumul, which means anonymity, and we reflected on its relevance to our modern world and the phenomena of celebrity mania that affects us through the virtue of being members of the society. We are affected, we are influenced in subtle but powerful ways through an osmosis-like process. And that we should not think that the fitan, the corrupting schemes, effects, will these corrupting ideas, the corrupting schemes will remain in watertight compartments, and that as long as we keep a certain distance, we will not be affected. The effects of fitan, as long as you're living in the same times, these effects seep into our hearts as members of a society, stealthily, surreptitiously, like the creeping damp in the walls of a house. If you're part of a society, then you have to be aware of its fitan, and you have to take active steps to inoculate yourself and your children. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Surah Al-Anfal said, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصًّا. Fear the fitna that will not affect only those who have done the wrong among you. Fear that fitna. This is directly related to the fourth subject in the curriculum of Jibreel alayhi salam, which we discussed in the second class. Ma'rifatu fitani zamanika, knowing the fitan of your time. Because if we're unfamiliar with the fitan of our time, then we would not recognize it when it creeps into our heart. We cannot live in a bubble and expect to be completely isolated. And the first step towards protecting ourselves is recognition, is to be able to recognize this. You have to be able to see it. And then, which is, of course, the first step towards avoiding it, and then take other steps. Now, one of the ways in which this fitna of celebrity mania affects us is by distorting our perception of happiness, of what it means to have a good life. It tricks us into thinking that celebrity is the measure of success and happiness, and that if we do not indulge in this pursuit, our lives will be in the pursuit of celebrity, or if we do not indulge in the mania, that our lives will be miserable. And so much so that the stamps of celebrity is required for social validation and vindication in mundane aspects of our lives. And I want to give you the other example that I wanted to mention last week, but this is an important example because it leads back to the perception it shows very clearly how perception can be altered, perceptions can change. The example is of clothes. A few decades ago, all clothes that were, when people manufactured clothes, the labels and the tags with the labels used to be tucked away behind the collar or somewhere hidden in the seam somewhere so that no one would see it unless you took the clothes and had inspected it. But as the celebrity mania began to spread and grew into the consciousness of vast swathes of society, that all changed. Now for clothes to be, for the clothes we wear to be validated with value, we need to have the name of a celebrity designer printed on it in a place where everyone can see. A shirt or a blouse with an Armani label displayed in a place where everyone can see it is perceived to be more valuable than a garment made of the same cloth and the same design without the label. That perceptual change is the direct result of the spread of celebrity mania. The value of celebrity stamp is now firmly imprinted in our minds, in the minds of people, including Muslims. So we should not consider ourselves to be that somehow we are safe from this. This is tragic because when it comes to the worth of the label of the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam on it, if someone says to you, "Oh, this brother, you know, this is the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam," I think so. This is my understanding. Maybe you might have another understanding about the riwayah, the value of the hadith, the station of the hadith, but it is, in my opinion, a sunnah. When someone says this, we have difficulty perceiving value in it. We have all sorts of ready-made arguments against wearing sunnah. You know, we say, "Oh, it's just sunnah, brother, it's not fard," or it is, you know, it's a different time, it's a different climate. Yes, of course, but what about the value of sunnah? What about the value of sunnah clothes in your heart compared to the value of celebrity designed clothes or celebrity designer clothes? Which one has more value in our perceptions or in our hearts? Nowadays, even the pursuit of religious knowledge, of dini knowledge, has become victim of the celebrity mania. We're now measuring piety through celebrity. In other words, there is this new age of personality cults and celebrity mania, even in our Islam. Islam has to come with celebrity branding. We spend, we have, you know, lots of young people today, we spend a few moments in the company of a celebrity scholar, a celebrity scholarship, memorize a few hadiths and see, and then they turn around and start seeing that as a springboard for social media superstardom, without realizing how devastating this pursuit can be. If you learn a few hadiths and some Quran, that doesn't mean that you have to go and become a superstar, you know, you in and be and use your deen for fame. But the problem is that because we perceive that success in this world today is in gaining fame, then people think that that's the natural thing to do. That I'll make some nice videos, you know, and people will love me. But we have to be careful. We have to be careful because Shaitan can come and trick you into thinking, say, oh, I'm helping people. You know, I'm doing it with good reasons. But if deep down inside it has that black ant crawling, as we said in the earlier lessons, then we have to remember the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here, where he said, مَا ذِئْبَانِ جَاعِيَانِ أُرْسِلَ فِي غَنَمٍ بِأَفْسَدَ لَهَا مِنْ حِرْسِ الْمَرْءِ عَلَى الْمَالِ وَالشَّرْفِ لِدِينِهِ عَلَى الْمَالِ وَالشَّرْفِ لِدِينِهِ. That the destruction of seeking fame and seeking wealth in your deen is more, it will be more devastating than sending two hungry wolves in a pen with sheep, where sheep is. If you send two hungry wolves, which where there's sheep, the sort of devastation it will cause, that's the kind of devastation. These are the words of Rasulullah. These are the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's saying that مَا ذِئْبَانِ جَاعِيَانِ أُرْسِلَ فِي غَنَمٍ, that they will not cause, these two hungry wolves will not cause the kind of devastation that a person who is seeking fame and seeking position and seeking wealth through his deen. So we have to be careful. We have to analyze our actions and look, and this is why we need this sort of discussion. Now, in contrast to this, we pondered also the phenomenon known as flow, where many people in the world today are not affected as much by this celebrity culture. They experience optimal life experiences of happiness and satisfaction, not through seeking the attention of others, but through paying attention in solitary focus, through single-minded focus on tasks without the worry of defending the ego. These are people who are able to disengage. They're able to disengage from worrying about what people will think or what people will say about them. And they're able to focus on more meaningful goals. They're not caught in a never-ending obsession for recognition. These are people who are not only happier in their lives, but they prove the point that running after the celebrity is not as rewarding as we tend to think it is. And that was the message last week. Now, among Muslims, the people who have reached the highest heights that we have seen, highest heights in this area, in the area of flow, in the area of having this, of having value, of enjoy, of experiencing life to the fullest, but without celebrity. And these people are the opposite of those who are running after celebrity, and they are the people who practice khumul, the concept we studied last week. And as we saw in the reflection on the virtues of khumul, the opposite of celebrity, that to disengage from seeking jah, moving away from the celebrity-centered mindset has great value. As Imam Ghazali, in his discussion, drew our attention to 8 points in this regard. The first was that an anonymous, disheveled person in rags, person who in this celebrity mania world, who no one will look at and think that a person who is disheveled and who is in rags and no one cares about, would have no value whatsoever. That's the automatic perception that we would have. But what we learned last week is that these people may be so elevated in the eyes of Allah, that if they were to take an oath and say that Allah will do such and such, Allah will fulfill their oath. That's the extent. In this world, Allah will fulfill their oath. Number two was that Allah may give Jannah to some. They may ask Allah for things of this world and they may not give him. They may not be given it. But Allah will give them things in the Akhirah, will give them Jannah if they ask for it. These are these same disheveled, anonymous people who no one knows, no one cares about. And that the people who no one cares about are refused audiences with the princes and with the governors, and they are not given daughters to marry. But on the day of judgment, these same people will carry enough light that will be sufficient for everyone. That's how much light they have in their heart. And number four is that some of the unknown people have hearts that are lamps of guidance. They are masabih al-huda. They are lamps of guidance that protects them from all the calamity and all the fitna around them. Number five was that sometimes the supplication of these unknown people, their dua, is accepted immediately by Allah, as we saw in the story of the drought in Medina. Number six was that one of the favors of Allah and his servants is in keeping him anonymous. Allah will recount that on the day of judgment. Said, "Alam asturak," that did I not hide your sins? And alam akhmil dhikrak, did I not conceal, make you anonymous? Did I not keep you away from fame? Because fame is a test. It's a great test. When you become famous, then how do you carry yourself? The fame of the prophets, then that was the point number seven, was that the fame of the prophets and the fame of the ulama come from Allah. They do not seek it. So we should not use this or misuse this as justification for our celebrity pursuits. And finally, number eight was that if you're weak, then it's better not to be known. Because it's like, and the example, he gave this beautiful example of a weak swimmer in a river where people are drowning. It's better for people not to know you because they will hold on to you. You will drown and they will drown. But if you're strong, then it's better for them to know you so that they can seek your assistance and get help to come out. Now, when we are trapped in this hubbul jah storm, the storm in the mind, our mental energies tend to be occupied constantly with the concern about what people are thinking and saying about us. You know, log kya kahenge, mada yaqulun nas, apa orang akan kata, what would they say? What are people saying? And this is the worry, what leads us to check our social media status, you know, for feedback 20 times a day or 5 times an hour, depending on how obsessed you are now, or looking for praise, checking for likes, searching for mentions. And because these make us feel good about ourselves, we end up into a spiral, going more and more and more for it, because we get the feedback and we want to go. And if someone posts a negative comment about us, we become upset and dejected, and life turns upside down for days and days on end. Now today, we will look at some strategies for dealing with this sort of problem, the problem of excessive focus and concern about what others say about us in terms of praise and criticism, because this is at the heart of the matter. So let's read Bayan Wajhi Al-Ilaj, and we're going into the cures now. Bayan Wajhi Al-Ilaj Lihubb Al-Madhi Wa Karahiyat Al-Damb. And here Imam Ghazali is saying, "I'lam anna akthar an-nasi," that most people, "innama halaku bi khawfi madammati an-nasi wa hubbi madhihim," that most people have ended up in destruction by worrying about the criticisms of people and the love of praise from people. "Fasarat harakatuhum kulluha mawqufatan ala ma yuwafiqu ridha an-nas," that what happens is that their entire life, all their actions, everything they do, then becomes dependent upon what pleases people. وَرَجَاءً لِلْمَدْحِ وَالْخَوْفِ مِنَ الدَّمْبِ, and it's for what pleases people, and for the drawing, or the hoping in praise, and hoping for praise, and for and the fear of criticism. وَذَلِكَ مِنَ الْمُهْلِكَاتِ فَيَجِبُ مُعَالَجَتُهُ, and this is of the pitfalls of destruction. This is one of the pitfalls of destruction. So it is necessary to treat this. وَطَرِيقَتُهُ, and the way of treating it is مُلَاحَظَةُ الْأَصْبَابِ الَّتِي لِأَجْلِهَا يُحِبُّ الْمَدْحُ وَيُكْرَمُ, this to look at the reasons for which the person loves praise and hates criticism. أَمَّا السَّبَبَ الْأَوَّلِ وَهُوَ إِسْتِشْعَارُ الْكَمَالِ بِسَبَبِ قَوْلِ الْمَادِحِ, that the first is that the reason you like this, the reason you enjoy this, is that it gives you a sense of completeness, a sense of perfection. That you feel that what this person is saying, this praise that they're giving you, is interpreted deep in your heart that you have some sort of perfection. فَطَرِيقَكُكَ فِي أَن تَرْجِعَ إِلَىٰ أَقْلِكَ وَتَقُولُ لِنَفْسِكَ. So the way to return to your senses, you should say to yourself, هَذِهِ الصِّفَةُ الَّتِي يَمْدَحُكَ بِهَا أَنْتَ مُتَّصِفٌ بِهَا أَمْ لَا. That this quality with which this person is praising you, do you really possess those qualities? Is it really for you? فَإِنْ كُنْتَ مُتَّصِفًا بِهَا. That if you have this attribute, فَهِيَ إِمَّا صِفَةٌ تَسْتَحِقُ بِهَا الْمَدْحِ. It will either be, one, that it is deserving of praise, كَالْعِلْمِ وَالْوَرْعِ, such as knowledge, true knowledge and piety, وَإِمَّا صِفَةٍ لَا تَسْتَحِقُ بِالْمَدْحِ, or an attribute, it's something that you have in you that it does not deserve the praise, but the person is praising you for it. وَكَالثَّرْوَةِ وَالْجَاهِ وَالْأَغْرَازِ وَالْأَغْرَاضِ الدُّنْيَوِيَّةِ, just like, such as wealth in the world and abundance of wealth and station and provisions of the world. فَإِنْ كَانَتْ مِنَ الْأَغْرَاضِ الدُّنْيَوِيَّةِ فَالْفَرْحُ بِهَا كَالْفَرْحِ بِنَبَاتِ الْأَرْضِ الَّذِي يَسِيرُ عَلَى الْقُرْبِ حَشِيمًا تَذْرُوهُ الرِّيَاحِ. That if it is about provisions about this world, things that we have in this world, then it is, your joy over it is short-lived, will be short-lived, because it is like being, it is like the joy of seeing vegetation sprout from the earth, but then after a while it becomes dust and blown away. وَهَذَا مِنْ قِلَّةِ الْعَقْلِ. And this indicates to a short-sightedness. بَلِ الْعَقْلِ يَقُولُ كَمَا قَالَ الْمُتَنَبِّي. But the intelligent one is the one who says, as the poet, he's quoting here a couplet from a famous poet, al-Mutanabbi. He said, أَشَدُّ الْغَمِّ عِنْدِي فِي سُرُورٍ تَيَقَّنَ عَنْهُ صَاحِبُهُ انْتِقَالًا. He said that the most intense sadness for me is in the joy, in the excessive joy, the celebratory, the ecstasy of someone over something which he is sure that he will lose. How can you be so happy over it? To go into ecstasy about something. فَلَا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَفْرَحَ الْإِنسَانِ بِعُرُودِ الدُّنْيَا. So it is not suitable for someone to become excessively happy and ecstatic about things in this world. وَإِنْ فَرِحَ. But if you are happy about it, if you become joyous, then فَلَا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَفْرَحْ بِمَدْحِ الْمَادِحِ. The thing that you should be happy with is not the praise of someone who praises you, بَلْ بِوُجُودِهَا, but with the presence of this gift that you have. وَالْمَدْحِ لَيْسَ هُوَ سَبَبُ وُجُودِهَا. And the praise is not the reason for its existence. وَإِنْ كَانَتِ الصِّفَةُ مِمَّا يَسْتَحِقُّ الْفَرْحِ. If it is one of those attributes that is deserving of praise, كَالْعِلْمِ وَالْوَرْعِ, such as knowledge and piety, فَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ لَا يَفْرَحْ بِهَا. So you should not be overly joyful over it, because لِأَنَّ الْخَاطِمَةَ غَيْرُ مَعْلُومٍ. Because no one knows what our end will be, the end in this world. You have knowledge, you have piety, but in what state will you die? وَهَذَا إِنَّمَا يَقْتَدِي الْفَرْحِ لِأَنَّهُ يُقَرِّبُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ زُلْفَ. Yes, you deserve to be pleased and happy about it, because it brings you closer to Allah. وَخَطَرُ الْخَاطِمَةِ بَاقٍ. But we have to remember, so it has to be measured, the danger of a terrible ending is still there. فَفِي الْخَوْفِ مِنْ سُوءِ الْخَاتِمَةِ شُغْلٌ عَنِ الْفَرْحِ بِكُلِّ مَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. So it is about having this balanced approach and not becoming excessively ecstatic over things in this world and running after them and being happy about the praise about them. So he's saying here that, look, that it has to be balanced between these two. That al-khatimah, the shughlun, that it's balanced off with a worry. The joy is balanced off with a worry about what will happen in the end. بَلِ الدُّنْيَا دَارُ الْأَحْزَانِ وَالْغُمُومِ لَا دَارُ فَلَاحٍ وَسُرُورٍ. That this dunya is full of trials and tribulations and sadness and things and worry. The place where all of that will go away is in the akhirah, is in Jannah. ثُمَّ إِن كُنْتَ تَفْرَحْ بِمَا بِهَا عَلَى رَجَاءِ حُسْنِ الْخَاتِمَةِ. That if you're happy about hoping that you will have a good ending, فينبغي أن يكون فرحك بفضل الله تعالى عليك بالعلم والتقوى. Then you're, if you are going, if you're choosing this to be the point, the reason for your joy, then you should be happy because of the bounty from Allah. But you should be happy with Allah that this is, that this knowledge and this taqwa, this righteousness is from Allah. لَا مَدْحَ الْمَادِحِ, not from the praising of the praiser, the one who is praising you. فَإِنَّ اللَّذَّةَ إِسْتِشْعَارِ الْكَلَامِ that al-kamal wal-kamal mawjoodun fi fadlillahi la fil madih, that this joy that you are getting is from feeling, is that sense of completeness, that sense of perfection, and that is with Allah, that is with Allah, that's a bounty from Allah. Wal madhu tabi'un lahu, the mad, it, the praise that you are receiving, it comes from, it did not create this attribute that you have, so you should not get happy with the praise, you should be happy with the actual thing that you have. والكمال فلما ينبغي أن تفرح بالمدح والمدح لا يزيدك فضلا, the praise does not increase you in any, in any bounty. فإن كانت الصفة التي مدحت بها أنت خال عنها, so that as far as things that you had, attributes that you actually had and people praised you for, as for things that you did not have, فإن كانت الصفة, they are telling you about some, they are praising you for something that you are void of, you do not have it. مدح ومدحت بها وأنت خال عنها ففرحك بالمدح غاية الجنون, so your joy of that over such a praise, you do not have an attribute and people are praising you for it, he said that is غاية الجنون, it is the full extent of insanity. Yes, ومثالك مثالك مثال من يهزه به إنسان ويقول سبحان الله ما أكثر العطر الذي في أحشائه, that a person who is, you know, passing, relieving himself, and someone says to him, oh, what beautiful smells you have. وَمَا أَطْيَبَ الرَّوَاحِحَ الَّتِي تَفُوحُ مِنْهُ إِذَا قَضَى حَاجَتَهُ, that when he relieves himself, he, yeah, a lot of beautiful smells comes out of him. وَهُوَ يَعْلَمْ مَا تَشْمَلُ عَلَيْهِ أَعْمَعَهُ وَعَقْدَانِ, he knows that, what, that this is not true. It's the complete opposite that happens. ثُمَّ يَفْرَحْ بِذَلِكَ, and then he is happy about that. Then, so, فَكَذَلِكَ إِذَا أَثْنَوْ عَلَيْكَ بِالصَّلَاحِ وَالْوَرَعِ, and so it is that if they praise you for being a very pious person and to, and be a very scrupulous person in your deen, then, and you are void of it, you do not have any of this, then, فَرِحْتَ وَاللَّهُ مُطَّلِعٌ عَلَى خَبَائِثِ, that you are happy with this, والله, and that Allah knows the true nature of your what's in your heart, وغوائل سريرك, and all the destructive capacities in you, وأقدار صفاتك, and all the terrible, the disgusting attributes you have, كان ذلك من غاية الجهل, this is the highest extent of ignorance. فإذا المادح إن صدق فليكن فرحك بصفتك التي هي من فضل الله عليك, that so if someone praises you and he is truthful in what he is saying, and you know him to be, then your joy should not be about the praise, your joy should be about the fadl, about the bounty from Allah, that this Allah is. وَإِنْ كَذِبْ, and if he's lying, فَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَغَمَّكَ هَذَا أَنْ يَغَمَّكَ ذَلِكَ وَلَا تَفْرَحْ, that if it's lies what he's saying, he's praising you for something you do not have, then that should be a source of sadness, not joy. Now, أَمَّا السَّبَبُ الثَّانِي, as for the second reason, وَهُوَ دَلَالَةُ الْمَدْحِ على تسخير قلب المادح, that this is an indication of the reason, another reason why, you know, we get attracted to it, is that it's an indication that this person who is praising you, his heart is now in, it has now become beck, it beckons towards you, it's now part, it's now in your control. وكونه سببا لتسخير قلب آخر, and once this person is in your control, he, through him now, you'll be able to control others. فهذا يرجع إلى حب الجاه والمنزلة في القلوب. And of course, this is what حب الجاه is. This is what حب الجاه and منزلة and seeking position in the heart. وقد سبق وجه معالج, this we have looked at. وذلك بقطع الطمع عن الناس. And how do you repair this? You repair this by cutting the yearning for people's, for position. وطلب المنزلة عند الله. For cutting of position in people's heart and for seeking position in front of Allah. بأن تعلم. And this is a very important sentence. This sentence needs to be written in gold. بأن تعلم أن طلبك طلبك المنزلة في قلوب الناس. That you should know very clearly in your mind that seeking position in the hearts of people, وفرحك بها, and having joy over it, يسقط منزلتك عند الله تعالى. It degrades you in your station in front of Allah. When you seek position in front of people, in the hearts of people, you are degrading yourself in front of Allah. This is the sentence. This is the sentence. فكيف تفرح? How then can you be happy about this? أن تعلم أن طلبك المنزلة في قلوب الناس وفرحك بها يسقط منزلتك عند الله. فكيف تفرح? That seeking position in people's heart degrades you in the position in front of Allah, in your position in front of Allah. فكيف تفرح? So how can you be happy about that? And then he said, the third reason why it happens, أما السبب الثالث هو shyness, هو الحشمة التي اضطرت المادح إلى المدح. You know, the person is shy, he feels obliged to say something. فهو أيضا يرجع إلى قدر عارض لا ثبات لها ولا تستحق الفرح. Even if he does it out of, you know, being polite and, you know, shyness, he wants to, it's a situation where he has to praise you, then know that this is passing, this is fleeting, this is a fleeting moment. بل ينبغي أن يغمك المدح البادح وتقرعه وتغضب. You should be, you know, that this should be a source of sadness. كما نقل ذلك عن السلف, that our early scholars, لأن آفة المدح على الممدوح عظيمة كما ذكرنا في كتاب الآفات, في كتاب آفات اللسان. He's saying that this brings a calamity on people. If you praise them, this brings calamity, this, because it destroys their balance. So he's saying, قال بعض السلف, من فرح بمدح فقد مكن الشيطان من أن يدخل في بطنه. That whoever has become happy with praise of people, then he has made it easy for shaitan to enter into his stomach. في بطنه. وقال بعضهم إذا قيل لك دع نعم الرجل فكان, that if you are the best of people, فكان أحب إليك من أن يقال بئس الرجل أنت. It should be better for you for people to say, oh, you are the worst person. فأنت والله بئس الرجل. That you are falling into a trap. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم مرة للمادح ويحك قطعت ظهره ولو وسع. That you have broken his back. And this sentence comes repeatedly in hadith, that if people who praise, who indulge in flattery, then you should throw dust in their face, because it's about raising positions and you're indulging in flattery for other things. فهكذا يعني قال فهذا كان الصحابة رضي الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين على وجل عظيم من المدح والفتنة. So then the Sahaba didn't fall into this kind of trap of flattery and this excessive being excessively praising excessively, so that you destroy a person's self image, as image of themselves. وما يدخل على القلب من السرور, because of the joy it puts. حتى إن بعض الخلفاء الراشدين, and it's reported that some of the خلفاء, so some of the caliphs الراشدين, سأل رجلا عن شيء فقال, he asked a person on something, and the man said to him, وأعلم. He asked him some question. He said, oh, you are better than me and you know me. And he said to him, فغضب. He became angry and he said, إني لم أمرك أن تزكيني. I did not ask you for a reference. وقال لبعض الصحابة, لا يزال الناس بخير ما أبقاك الله. فغضب. A person said to a Sahabi, you know, that people will be safe as long as you are around, that Allah keeps you alive. And the Sahaba got angry. He said, "Inni la ahsabuka Iraqiyan." I think you are an Iraqi. In those days, because they had a lot of this tendency for culture, not all of people, but it was known. وقال بعضهم لما مدح اللهم إن عبدك تقرب إلي بمقتك. That, oh Allah, this person is getting closer to me. He's trying to get close to me by angering you. وإنما كره المدح خفية أن يفرحوا بمدح الخلق وهم ممقوتون عند الخالق. And the reason they dislike too much praise, they dislike praise from people, from the creation, is that they fear that they would be that it will be the opposite in the eyes of the Khaliq, in the eyes of the Creator. وكان فكان اشتغالهم اشتغال قلوبهم بحالهم عند الله يبغض إليهم مدح الخلق. That كان اشتغال قلوبهم بحالهم عند الله. That their occupation with their status in front of Allah made them angry about praise of people around, worrying about people's praise, interrupted that whole process of worrying, of having that focus and paying attention to their station in front of Allah. لأن الممدوح على الحقيقة هو المقرب إلى الله. That the real praised person is the one who is close to Allah. والمذموم على الحقيقة هو المبعد عن الله الملقى في النار مع الأشرار. And the one who is blameworthy, the one who is criticized, who should be criticized, who is blameworthy, is the one who is far away from Allah, who is thrown into the fire. فهذا الممدوح إن كان عند الله من أهل النار. That if this person who is being praised, if he is of the fire, فما أعظم جهله إذا فرح بمدح غيره. Although, what great ignorance is this? What great ignorance is this of him? That he is happy with the praise of others while he is going to the fire. وَإِنْ كَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ And if he is of the people of Jannah, فَلَا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَفْرَحْ إِلَّا بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَثَنَائِهِ عَلَيْهِ He should only be happy with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the bounty from Allah. Is لَيْسَ أَمْرُهُ بِيَدِ الْخَلْقِ That his outcomes, his future, his benefits are with Allah. It's not with the creation. وَمَهْمَا عَلِمَ أَنَّ الْآجَالِ وَالْأَرْزَاقِ بِيَدِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى قَلَّ إِلْتِفَاتِهُ إِلَى مَدْحِ الْخَلْقِ وَدَمِّهِ That the more your yaqeen, the more your understanding, the more your belief, the more your certainty that what will reach you in this world and what and sustenance you will get in this world is from Allah. The more that rises, is the less you will turn, you will give attention to what people say in terms of praise or criticism. وَسَقَطَ مِنْ قَلْبِكَ حُبُّ الْمَا أو حُبُّ الْمَدْحِ And the love of praise will diminish in your heart. وَاشْتَغَلَ بِمَا يَهِمُّهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ دِينِهِ And he will, that person, when that happens, when the love of praise diminishes in your heart, then you will turn towards what is important for your deen. In other words, you will focus on what is important for your akhirah. وَاللَّهُ الْمُوَفَّقُ لِلصَّوَابِ وَرَحْمَتِهِ That's that bab. بَابُ عِلَاجِ كَرَاهِيَةِ الدَّمِ Now, that was in terms of prayers. Now, the next chapter is about criticism, that we don't like people to say bad things about us. And this, وَقَدْ سَبَقَ أَنَّ إِلَّةِ الْقَرَاهِيَةِ إِلَّةِ الْقَرَاهِيَةِ هِيَ ضِدُّ الْعِلَّةِ فِي مَدْحِ فَعِلَاجُهُ أَيْضًا يُفْهَمْ مِنْهُ وَالْقَوْلُ الْوَجِيزُ فِيهِ He said, in summary, this is, أَنَّ مَنْ ذَمَّكَ That the person who criticizes you, لَا يَخْلُو مِنْ ثَلَاثَةِ أَحْوَالِ He will not be from more than three perspectives. In three situations. إِمَّا أَنْ يَكُونَ قَدْ صَدَقَ فِي مَا قَالَ وَقَصَدَ بِهِ النُّصْحَ وَالشَّفَقَ That when if he criticizes you, the first situation will be that he is truthful in what he says, and his reason for doing it is to advise you, to give you good advice, and to show compassion towards you. He's doing you a favor. وَإِمَّا يَكُونَ صَادِقًا وَلَكِنْ قَصْدُهُ إِذَاءِ وَالطَّعَنُّتْ That the second situation is where he does it, or she does it, she criticizes you, but the reason for doing it is to cause pain and to condescend, to cause a condescension. And the third situation was imma an yakuna kadhiban, or he may be lying. The third situation is where he's making some slander, some backbite. He's not backbiting, but completely fabricating something against you. He's lying. So in the first situation he's explaining here, he says, فَإِنْ كَانَ صَادِقًا وَقَصْدُهُ النُّصْحِ, that if he is telling the truth and his purpose, his aim is to give good advice, فَلَا يَنْبَغِي أَن تَذُمَّهُ وَتَغْضَبَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَحْقِدْ بِسَبَبِهِ, then you should not be angry with him and hate him for that reason. بَلْ يَنْبَغِي أَن تَتَقَلَّدْ مِنَّتَهُ, that you should hold on to, you should recognize his favor that he's doing to you. فَإِنَّ مَنْ أَهْدَى إِلَيْكَ عُيُوبَكَ فَقَدْ أَرْشَدَكَ إِلَى مَهْلِكَ حَتَّى تَتَّقِي, that the one who shows you a defect that you did not notice or reminds you of your defect, but then he's helping you. He's helping you not to fall into it. فَيَنْبَغِي أَن تَفْرَحْ بِهِ, so you should be happy about this. وَتَشْتَغِلْ بِإِزَالَةِ صِفَةِ الْمَذْمُومَ عَنْ نَفْسِكَ إِنْ قَدِرْتَ عَلَيْهَا, and take the advice and remove that bad quality, that bad attribute that for which you have been criticized, to remove it from yourself. فَأَمَّا اِخْتِنَامُكَ بِسَبَبِ كَرَاهِيَتُكَ لَهُ وَذَمِّهِ وَذَمُّكَ فَإِنَّهُ غَايَةُ الْجَهَلِ, as for if you start to feel angry and start to criticize him and go and hate him because he has done this, then that is a form of, that is the pinnacle of ignorance. So that's for the first category, the first situation in which this happens. The second situation, وَإِنْ كَانَ قَصْدُهُ التَّعَنُّتِ, he wants to cause pain, he wants to put you down, he wants to condescend. So, but what he's saying is true. So he's saying, فَأَنْتَ قَدْ انْتَفَعْتَ بِقَوْلِهِ, you have benefited from what he has said. إِذْ أَرْشَدَكَ إِلَىٰ عَيْبٍ إِنْ كُنْتَ جَاهِلًا بِهِ, that he may be pointing you to a defect in your own character or a defect in you for which you were unaware of, possibly, that's in one situation. أَوْ ذَكَّرَكَ عَيْبَكَ إِنْ كُنْتَ غَافِلًا, or he reminded you of something that was in you that you were you were heedless of. You knew it was there, but you were heedless of it in removing it. أَوْ قَبَّحَهُ فِي عَيْنِكَ, or he made it dislikable in your mind. By doing that, he's transforming you, he's helping you, he's transforming. قَبَّحَهُ فِي عَيْنِكَ لِيَنْبَعِثَ حِرْسُكَ عَلَىٰ إِزَالَتِي, so from that, you will be motivated to removing that defect, that bad characteristic. إِنْ كُنْتَ قَدْ اسْتَحْسَنْتَهُ, maybe you did not recognize it as being bad, but now you've recognized it because of what he's done, and he is spreading it among people, so you will remove it from yourself. وَكُلُّ ذَلِكَ أَسْبَابُ سَعَادَتِكَ, and all of this is in your benefit. وَقَدْ إِسْتَفَدْتَ مِنْهُ, and you've benefited from it. These are all measures. These are all reasons for your good life, for your benefit. فَاشْتَغِلْ بِطَلَبِ السَّعَادَةِ, so go towards seeking happiness, seeking good in this world. فَقَدْ أُتِيحَ لَكَ أَسْبَابُهُ بِسَبَبِ مَا سَمِعْتَهُ مِنَ الْمَذَمَّةِ, so you have benefited from what you hear this person say. فَمَهْمَا قَصَدْتَ الدُّخُولَ عَلَى مَلِكٍ وَثَوْبُكَ مُلَوَّثٌ بِالْعَذْرَةِ وَأَنْتَ لَا تَدْرِي, that if you are, and he's giving an example to bring home this point. He says that, look, imagine that you are about to enter into the court of the king and your clothes has dirt on it and you do not, and you are unaware of it. وَلَوْ دَخَلْتَ عَلَيْهِ كَذَلِكَ لَخُفْتَ عَنْ يَهُزَّ رَقَبَتَكَ لِتَلَوُّثِكَ مَجْلِسَهُ بِالْعَذْرَةِ, that it is possible that the sultan may punish you for messing his court up with the clothes that you have. And so if someone says, قَالَ لَكَ قَائِلٌ أَيُّهَا الْمُلَوَّثُ بِالْعَذْرَةِ, and so if someone addresses you as you are about to go in and say, oh, you dirty man, look, طَحِرْ نَفْسَكَ, clean yourself, فَيَنْبَغِي أَن تَفْرَحْ, so it is necessary for you, it is, you in that situation, you should be happy about it. لِأَنَّ تَنَبُّهُكَ بِقَوْلِهِ غَنِيمَةٌ, that this is something in your favor. You've earned something by him. وَجَمِيعُ مَسَاوِيَ الْأَخْلَاقِ الْمُهْلِكَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ, that all the bad characteristics of people in your character, all of these are potential destructions. Like that king who will chop your head off if you mess his court up. He said these kind of, every bad character defect has potential for leading us into failure on the day of judgment. Failure. Well, insanu innama ya'rifuha min qawli a'da'ihi, and the person finds his own mistakes. He sees his mistakes from the speech, from the words of his enemy. فَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ تَغْتَنَمْهَا. That you should be happy about, you should use this opportunity. وَأَمَّا قَصْدُ الْعَدُوُ التعنت. And as for his intention to cause pain and to condescend, فَجِنَايَةٌ مِنْهُ عَلَى دِينِ نَفْسِهِ. That this is, he is committing a crime against himself. وَهُوَ نِعْمَةٌ مِنْهُ عَلَيْكِ. On one hand, it's a crime against himself, and it's a benefit, it's a reward for you. فَلِمَ تَغْضَبَ عَلَيْهِ بِفِعْلِ مَا بِفِعْلٍ إِنْتَفَعْتَ بِهِ أَنْتَ وَتَضَرَّ بِهِ هُوَ. So why be angry on something, on an action, on something done through which he has suffered and you have benefited? So this is how you get out of that trap of worrying, oh, this person has posted something about me and this and that. Well, halatu thalith, and now he's saying that, look, this was the third situation. And يَفْتَرِ عَلَيْكَ بِمَا أَنْتَ بَرِيءٌ مِّنْهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. That he then fabricates something against you. He's lying. He's saying something bad about you, which is a lie. فَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ لَا تَهْرَكَ أَنْ لَا تَقْرَهُ. You should not worry about that. No, don't worry about him, about getting angry. وَلَا تَشْتَغِلْ بِذَمِّهِ. And don't engage with his criticism. بَلْ تَتَفَكَّرْ فِي ثَلَاثَةِ أُمُورِ. You should think about three things. أَحَدُهَا أَنَّكَ إِنْ خَلَوْتَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ الْعَيْبِ فَلَا تَخْلُو مِنْ أَمْثَالِهِ وَأَشْبَاهِهِ. That yes, you might not have that particular defect in you, but you may have many other similar defects. So don't feel too confident, he's saying here. So this is the first thing you must think, keep in mind. فَلَا تَخْلُو مِنْ أَمْثَالِهِ وَأَشْبَاهِهِ. وَمَا سَتَرَ اللَّهُ مِنْ عُيُوبِكَ أَكْثَرُ. And the ones and the defects that Allah, your sins, that Allah has covered is more than what this person has fabricated. فَشْكُرِ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى. So thank Allah تَعَالَى إِذْ لَمْ يُطْلِعْهُ عَلَى عُيُوبِكَ. So thank Allah that he has not exposed your sins to this person. وَدَفَعَهُ عَنْكَ بِذِكْرِ مَا أَنْتَ بَرِيءٌ أَنْ. And he has led him into saying things which you have not committed, which you have not done. So keep that in your mind. That's the first thing. The second in, أَنَّ ذَلِكَ كَفَّارَاتٌ لِبَقِيَةِ مَسَاوِيكَ وَذُنُوبِكَ. That this is an expiation of your other sins. If he's mentioning one thing and he's fabricated it, then that's wiping out other sins that you have. فَكَأَنَّهُ رَمَاكَ بِعَيْبٍ أَنْتَ بَرِيءٌ مِّنْهُ. So he has accused you of something that you do not have. وَطَحَّرَكَ مِنْ ذُنُوبٍ أَنْتَ مُلَوَّثْ بِهَا. He has accused you, he has thrown at you a sin that you do not have, and with it he's wiping away sins that you actually have. وَكُلُّ مَنْ اِخْتَابَكَ فَقَدْ أَهْدَى إِلَيْكَ حَسَنَاتِهِ. And anyone who backbites against you has given you his good deeds. وَكُلُّ مَنْ مَدَحَكَ فَقَدْ قَطَعَ ظَهَرَكَ. And anyone who praises you, you know, goes into flattery with you, then that person has broken your back. In other words, he has destroyed your ability to stand, to worry about the real thing, which is how you stand in front of Allah. وَمَا بَالُكَ تَفْرَحْ. And so why are you happy with this قَطْعَ ظَهْرَكَ? Why are you happy with the one who has broken your back? وَتَحْزَنْ بِهَدَايَ الْحَسَنَاتَ الَّتِي تُقَرِّبُكَ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And you are being sad about good deeds that you are receiving from people, good deeds that are bringing you closer to Allah. وَأَنْتَ تَزْعَمُ أَنَّكَ تُحِبُّ الْقُرْبَ مِنَ اللَّهِ. How you can have this upside down, this alternative reaction when you claim that you love being close to Allah? These hasanat that you're getting from people who are doing all these things are bringing you closer to Allah. So why worry about it? أَمَّا الثَّالِثِ. And he said now for the third thing, فَهُوَ أَنَّ الْمِسْكِينَ قَدْ جَنَى عَلَيْكَ دِينِهِ حَتَّى. The third thing that you have to keep in mind is that فَهُوَ أَنَّ الْمِسْكِينَ. That this poor person, قَدْ جَنَى عَلَى دِينِهِ. That he is now committed a crime against his deen. حَتَّى سَقَطَ مِنْ عَيْنِ اللَّهِ. He is fallen in the eyes of Allah. وَأَهْلَكَ نَفْسَهُ بِإِفْتِرَائِهِ. And he has destroyed himself with this fabrication. وتعرى للعقاب لعقابه الأليم. And he has made himself exposed to the worst types of punishment. فلا ينبغي أن تغضب عليه مع غضب الله عليه. That he, then you should not add more anger to him because Allah is angry with him. وتشمت الشيطان به. That so الشيطان, you know, cause will tease him. Shaitan will tease him. وتقول اللهم أهلكه. And you say, you will say, اللهم, oh Allah, destroy him. بل ينبغي, but instead you should say, فلينبغي أن تقول اللهم أصلحه. Oh Allah, rectify him. Oh Allah, تب علي. Oh Allah, forgive him. Oh Allah, irhamhu. Oh Allah, forgive him. كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم اغفر لقومي. اللهم اهدي قومي. فإنهم لا يعلمون. لما كسروا ثنيته وشجوا وجهه وقتلوا عمه حمزة يوم أحد. He's saying that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in response to the people who broke his tooth and who injured his face and who killed his uncle, he in response to those things that were happening, he said, oh Allah, maghfir li qawmi, oh Allah, forgive my people. فإنهم, oh Allah, mahdi, oh Allah, guide them. فإنهم لا يعلمون, oh, they do not know what they're doing. They do not know. So this is the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ودعا إبراهيم بن أدهم لمن شج رأسه بالمغفرة فقيل له في ذلك, you know, a person, one of the battle attire, thing that's connected to a helmet, ripped his head, ripped and caused a big wound in it, and he made dua for this person. And فقيل له أعلم أني مأجور بسببه. He said, I know that I get reward because of this person. وما نالني منه إلا خير. So I got good. I've received خير. I received good from him. فلا أرضى أن يكون هو معاقبا بسببي. So I don't want him to be punished because of me. ومهما ومما يهون عليك كراهة الدم. And of the things that makes it easy for you to bear criticism, قطع الطمع, is to sever your yearning, sever your covetousness, sever your yearning for what people have. We're warning, yearning for what? Because this is where it links into the wider cultures that we look up. You know, last week we talked about that hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you're looking, if you're doing comparisons, إِذَا نَظَرَ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَى مَنْ فُضِّلَ عَلَيْهِ فِي الْمَالِ وَالْخَلْقِ فَلْيَنْظُرْ إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ أَسْفَلَ مِنْ. That if you're in the business of comparing, you're doing comparisons between who has and who hasn't, then be sure to look at those who are less fortunate. Because this is what leads to this tama. It leads to wanting what other people have, wanting this tama. فَإِنَّ مَنْ اسْتَغْنَتْ عَنْ مَهْمَا ذَمَّكَ. That if you have nothing, if you have nothing more to gain from these people, you have nothing more to want from what is with people, then it becomes easy to ignore people's criticism. وَلَمْ يَعْظُمْ أَثَرُ ذَلِكَ فِي قَلْبِكَ. And the effect of it, the effect of it also in your heart will be diminished, will be lessened. وَأَصْلُ الدِّينَ الْقَنَاعَةَ. And the foundation of our deen is in being contented, in being contentment and satisfaction. We should be contented with what we have. And this is not fatalism. It's about, yes, doing your best, but what you manage to achieve, that has to be, you have to be contented with, look, this is what Allah thinks is good for me. This is what I have, and I'm contented with it. I will ask for more, I will try for more, but I will not look at people and blame Allah for not giving me what people have. فَيَنْقَطَعَ الطَّمَعَ عَنِ الْجَاهِ وَالْمَالِ. Then the yearning for what people have will be cut off. وَمَا دَامَ الطَّمَعَ قَائِمًا كَانَ حُبُّ الْجَاهِ وَالْمَدْحِ فِي قَلْبِ مَنْ طَعَمْتَ فِيهِ غَالِبًا. That as long as you then have this view of looking upwards and looking at what people have, then you will be stuck in the trap, in that storm, as I said, the storm of jah, the storm of hubbul jah, the storm of loving station, the storm of loving position will be dominant. He said, كانت طمعت فيه غالبا وكانت همتك إلى تحصيل المنزلة في قلوبهم مصروفا. That all, that you will spend all your time in trying to get, to earn position in people. وَلَا يُنَالُ ذَٰلِكَ إِلَّا بِهَدْمِ الدِّينِ And the tragedy is that you will not get this except through the destruction of your deen, as we say, like the two hungry wolves. فَلَا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَطْمَعَ طَالِبَ الْمَالِ وَالْجَاهِ وَمُحِبِّ الْمَدْهِ وَمُبْغِضِ الذَّنْبِ فِي سَلَامَةِ دِينِهِ That the person who has this yearning, this tamar, this covet, this covetousness for wealth and for position and love of praise and hating of criticism, that person's deen is not safe. فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ بَعِيدٌ جِدًّا That this is very far. That is the conclusion of this chapter. All right, we've run out of time right now. So, okay, alhamdulillah, we finished that on time. Now to come back to what we started this discussion with, which was about optimal experience. We talked about that where regular moments of optimal experience serve as a fortifying force, as a strengthening force in an individual's life. As Muslims, where do we find our optimal experience? The answer is obvious. We can find our optimal life experience in our optimal goal in life. What is our optimal goal in life? Ibadah, getting close to Allah, the purpose for which we were created. We find our optimal experience in the remembrance of our Creator, in prayer, in our salah. The requirement of khushu, if you look at the requirements of khushu, in which we, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, as Allah said in Surah Al-Mu'minun, is that the people, the praising the people who have salah, in who have khushu, it includes complete disengagement from the world, not worrying about anything in the world, not who might say what and what people are saying, complete disengagement from the simulations of worldly conversations. Khushu is total disengagement. In this hadith, in Bukhari and Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that man salla raka'atayni, man salla lillahi raka'atayni, lam yuhaddith nafsahu fima, lam yuhaddith nafsahu fihima bishay'im min ad-dunya ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dambi. That a person who prays two rak'at salah, just two, in which he prays it for Allah, wa lam yuhaddith nafsahu, and he did not indulge in those worldly conversations. He did not simulate any conversations in his mind of anything worldly. He keeps it. He's completely disengaged from the world. Then that turaka will غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ دَنْبِ. It will wipe all his previous sins. So, and this is our flow. This is what we have to aim for. That's the salah we should aim for. Our flow is found in salah, in dhikr, in all its forms. Our flow is in the flowing of the eyes with tears. It is in the flowing of the heart with mercy and compassion. It is in the flow of sincere intentions and actions. It is in the flowing of charity from the hands, like a pleasant wind blowing. It is in the flow of heavenly mercies pouring upon the creation. It is in the flow of consciousness of the divine, in the secret depths of the heart and the mind. It is in the flow of reciprocal remembrance, as in, remember me and I will remember you. It is in the flow of divine praise, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at my servant, unduru ila abdi. When Allah sees you get up at night and you leave your bed and your children and your family and your duvet and get up your bedding in the night to pray, Allah says, "Unduru ila abdi." It is the flow of that praise that we should seek. It is the flow of praise among the angels in heaven. Prayer, when it reaches this, is a comfort, as it was for our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he used to say to Bilal, radiallahu anhu, he used to say, "Aqim as-salah ya Bilal." Oh, start the prayer, Bilal. Start. Aqim, say the iqama. Arihna biha. Bring us comfort with it. That's the comfort. The comfort of the difficulties in this world used to come through salah. وَجُعْلَتْ صَلَاتِ وَجُعْلَتْ قُرَّةَ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ That the salah has been made a comfort for me. Khushu is in the eyes and the ears, because it is through these two things, it is through this khushu, it is through this, that the clutter of the world pours into us. The clutter of the people speaking and what who has said what and what I'm going to say to who and what. And this is the thing that corrupts our khushu in salah. And the tragedy is that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said that أول شيء يرفع من هذه الأمة الخشوع. That the first good thing, the first thing of benefit, the first great treasure that will be lifted from this ummah that we will lose is khushu. حَتَّى لَا تَرَى فِيهَا خَشْعًا. Until a time will come when the masjid will be full, but there will be not one person with khushu. To find this flow in khushu, begin with your salah. It is the mi'raj of a mu'min. It is the ascension of the believer. We have to pray like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. He used to say, "Allahumma laka raka'at." Oh Allah, for you I bow. Wabika amant, and to you I believe, and to you walaka aslamt, and to you I submit. Khasha alaka sam'i wa basari, that my both my ears and my eyes are now flowing with the goal of pleasing you alone, only you. He used to say, "Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min 'ilmin la yanfa' wa min qalbin la yakhsha." I seek refuge in you from knowledge that is of no benefit, and from a heart that does not have khushu' in it. Wa min 'aynin la tadma', an eye that does not flow. Wa min da'watin la tusma', and from a du'a, supplication that is not answered. So let us pray. Let us ask Allah to help us. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Oh Allah, forgive us. Oh Allah, forgive our negligence and guide us to the flow of your mercies, and protect our hearts and minds from doubt, and save us from worrying about what others say about us, and make us seek your approval. Make us worry about what you think of us and what the angels think of us. Oh Allah, turn our hearts towards you in all situations, and guide us in a direction of your love and your mercy. Place our joy and happiness in your prayers, as it used to be for your beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Allah, cleanse our hearts from the clutter of worldly chatter. Oh Allah, cleanse our hearts from the clutter of worldly chatter in our prayer, and open our hearts with the light of your guidance. Oh Allah, we are your servants. We are your creation. We are your slaves. We have no other to turn to but you. Accept us and guide us. Oh Allah, forgive us. Oh Allah, help us. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك، ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك، ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا. ومتعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا ما أحييتنا، واجعله الوارث منا، واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا، وانصرنا على من عادانا، ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا، ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا، ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا يا ربي يا كريم. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، وألف بين قلوبهم، وأصلح ذات بينهم، وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته، ولا هما إلا فرجته، ولا كربا إلا نفسته، ولا ميتا إلا رحمته، ولا مريضا إلا شفيته، ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا أعنتنا على قضائها ويسرتها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم وفرج هم المهمومين، ونفس كرب المكروبين، واقض الدين عن المدينين، واشف جميع مرضى المسلمين، واشف جميع مرضى المسلمين يا ربي يا كريم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. وصل اللهم على رسوله النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. آمين آمين يا رب العالمين. طيب الحمد لله. What's the time now? Okay. I have prepared the links now have gone up for the recordings for the previous five classes, plus a link. I've prepared a link here with a series I have. One second, let me just grab it. I'm going to share this with you. It's a series of short lectures between 20 and 30 minutes of 40 lectures on improving your salah. Because we're talking about salah, and this is a good moment to try and make an effort to improve the quality of your salah. And so the sixth link that I will send here, there's a list of six links. The first five are for the first class, the first five classes that we have done, which you can study, you can revise, go over them and make notes. So it can help you to internalize, to practice what we are learning. This is not about information gathering. This is about inculcating them into your practice. And so for salah, which I said, this is where our optimal life experience is. And to improve that, I'd like to you to try and find time to study these, to listen to these 40 lectures, take notes, try and implement what's said in them. They're short. And inshallah, in the course of a couple of months, inshallah, you should be able to. If you do one a day, inshallah. So yeah, I'm going to share that now. Please copy it and keep it into your with you. Okay, just tell me if that gets sent. It. Okay, Bismillah. Is it gone? Can you see it?
Yeah, we received it.
Yeah. Okay. Alhamdulillah. Yes. Okay. So yeah, please copy that and yeah, follow the link. Okay, Jazakumullah khairan. The brothers in the class, do they have any questions? Where are they? Can't see who is in the class. Maybe I'm not seeing any answers. Anyway, yeah, inshallah, we will meet up next week. Inshallah, next week it's back to 7 o'clock. So please don't be late. Inshallah. جزاكم الله خيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بارك الله فيكم.